ladies, gentlemen, and disappointments. We are coming to you live from the Woman Caves in New York and Connecticut. My name is Leslie.
And my name is Melissa.
And we are Verbally Disastrous. Hello, everyone. This is your host, Leslie M. Jasper, of the Verbally Disastrous podcast that can be found on over 20 podcast platforms, including YouTube. For this episode, this is part A on our discussion on the most random encounters between she and I. So now, this is like one of those podcast episodes where we were in the middle of a discussion. Melissa and I were in the middle of a discussion, and she has said to me in the past that if the conversation starts to sound really good, just record it and let her know afterwards that I've recorded it and launch it as a podcast episode. Therefore, I did as she suggested when we were just randomly having a conversation that I felt was going in an interesting direction. I opted to record it, and I'm glad I did. We went down the rabbit hole and started discussing our one-night stands that we've had throughout the course of our adult lives. I know when I was younger, this type of a subject would be uncomfortable for me to even speak on, much less launch it as a podcast episode. I'm glad that as a woman in her 40s, that I don't feel that same sense of cringe or feeling uncomfortable as I would have in the past. I believe this is an honest and humorous conversation, so I figured, why not share what we were talking about, and you can make up your mind whether or not you think it's disgusting or funny. I'll let you be the judge on that. I can't say that I have had a tremendous amount of one-night stands, nor does Melissa say that. However, when it does happen, say it during a 40-year or 50-year span of your life, I feel like it's bound to happen because you're going to encounter someone where you just decide to throw caution to the wind, say, fuck it, all right, let's do this. Even with the thought of, I will never see this person again, sometimes it's for the better. I would imagine that the only thing good going on in that situation was the horizontal mambo, so to speak. When we're coming into part A on the discussion, I'm explaining to Melissa about a one-night stand encounter that happened in the back of a car. I'm explaining to her this conversation, and this is how we went down the rabbit hole of discussing one-night stands. There is a part B on the discussion, so let's check out part A. Come on, let's take a listen. I'm looking at my list. I can't remember. I did tell you about the dude messing with him at the White Plains.
Yes, you told me about him in the car.
Yeah. We drove up to, like, North White Plains.
No, I don't know what it is, but that's what you can name that podcast.
Truck fucking. But it's not truck fucking, it's Nissan fucking.
Well, it's a CRV.
No, it was a rental car. It was a Nissan Sentra. So you're like trying to dig, you're in the back, it's narrow.
Sentra fucking.
Sentra, yeah, it's literally like trying to, what's the width on the back of a seat? 4.5 feet? Maybe 5 feet tops?
I don't know, girl. Sounds like a problem.
It's like an improv thing. All right. You know, but there's pluses and minuses of fucking somebody on the first date.
Yeah.
Well, when you think about it, the two of you find each other attractive and decide to go at it like animals. Okay, well, we got no place right now. We got the car. Well, that was good. Nice talking to you. I'm out. Have you ever dealt with somebody where you fucked them for the first time and they wanted to go out for date two?
I don't think so.
Can you think about that? Anytime you've ever had a one night, you decided to do it? Because the fucking stars have got to be aligned. Usually you meet somebody and you're just like, all right, let me get through this fucking date.
I've only had like two one-night stands where I met somebody and we had this really great connection and we ended up fucking.
So the really great connection stopped after that first time that you porked, right?
Oh, I guess so. I never saw him again.
See, that's my point. Did you hear from him again?
No.
Why, though?
Because he was probably married. I don't know. I mean, someone can tell you they're divorced or they're not, or they have a shit happens.
I know, right? On the very first, even if you try to talk to them beforehand, you don't have all the facts, ma'am.
That's right. It wasn't like I met him online and was a date, you know? I met him on a, what the fuck was I at? Bike week somewhere.
Oh, it's those bike weeks. Was he an actual biker or was he a bystander like yourself?
He was a marshal, yeah. But they were in a bike club and everybody was hanging out. So it was up in Americade.
Where?
I had a fucking great. In Lake George.
Oh, Lake George. See, I don't know where all the bike places. What did I go to one with you and my buddy Freddie was there, my foreman?
That was his club party. That was his club party we went to.
Yeah, other than that, I don't recall going in to any of them.
Yeah, that was just a party that they had. The bike week in Lake George is every year. Like they have one in Florida, like Daytona, they have bike week and all that stuff. Like Lake George is where we went camping, the Utah and all them.
Yeah.
They have their own festival and all that kind of bullshit.
So when do they have the festival?
They have it online. Like bike week is the beginning of June. Then after June, there's the one up in New Hampshire, and it goes that way. But Lake George has other shit going on. Oh, that's another thing they got this year. I saw something with like all these ice sculptures and some other kind of crap.
Where the hell is that? Buffalo?
No! Lake George!
Lake George has ice sculpture things?
Something, it said something online I saw. I gotta look it up and get the date. We gotta go up one weekend and take a ride.
Alright. That's in like, what, January or February? Like the dead of winter?
Exactly, yup.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yup. So I'll be in my snowmobile, my snow fucking outfit.
Fat man, little cold. Remember that scene from Christmas Story? It was Chris Farley from Tommy Boy. I got it confused with Randy from Christmas Story, where his mom had him in that snowsuit that was ginormous. He couldn't walk.
And then the other thing I had, now this is a long time ago. It's 1994, and I remember it was in Jersey, and it was my birthday weekend. The Rangers just won the Stanley Cup, and I just graduated nursing school. So I was in, like, happy party mode.
Hell yeah.
And that guy, I lost my shoe. I remember leaving. He was like, you could stay.
Cinderella.
Yep, and I left, and I remember I was still bombed, and I couldn't find the hotel, and I saw this pizza sign up above. I said I knew it was that way. And then when the girls came out, I was passed out. I made it to the lobby, but I passed out on the couch.
Wait, this was after the meet, greet, and fuck?
Huh?
You were still fucking bombed even after that little rendezvous?
Yeah, I made it home without a shoe, and the girls found me on. I was passed out in the lobby on the couch in the hotel. They were like, "Where the hell'd you go?" I was like, "I was hanging out with this guy, and then I made it home." I made it to the room.
Who found your shoe, Cinderella?
Nobody.
No.
She was gone. She was probably still having a good time. My life's over. She was having a fucking
life. Imagine somebody finds the shoe later on. Boy, if this shoe could talk. When did you lose the shoe?
Who the fuck knows?
You knew it. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, I was a little coherent.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great weekend. You know, I did one of the BRR, Bag It, Ride It, and Run. But that was in my younger days. Now I could care less. I'd be lucky to get 2 licks and I sit on it. I don't even want to. I won't be bothered anybody. I'm just so done.
Betty's dried up?
She's not dried up. I'm fed up.
Not fed up. Dried up. Not dried up. Fed up.
Yeah. It can't be bothered. I don't know. I got other plans and visions I want to do right now.
I've had this job,
get another one, make as much money as I can, buy another piece of property, open up a deli. I'm in really good state of mind right now. I don't want to stay that way.
No, of course. Haven't anybody drop that vibes.
Rejection over and over and over. The bullshit. I can't talk to people anymore. It's like, oh, for the love of Jesus. Yeah, so
Well, okay. People have a lot of people to talk to, so they have too many choices.
Exactly. So no one gets to know anybody. It's like you catch a feeling for somebody, you're talking to them, all of a sudden the next picture, oh, I like this one. And it's just enough. You know what I mean? It's like shit.
I think I had one of those one-night encounters. It was probably in the 90s. There was a club called Streets in Brewster off of Route 6. The guy was from West Point, and he was originally from Texas. He was there for the military. I remember I was like, all right, oh yeah, this has got to go down. And then it did. I talked to him a couple times after that or whatever, but then it was kind of like, okay, well, this was a waste of time because geographically you're from another part of the country and you're just going to get stationed somewhere else. Oh, I just remembered about the dude, Big Dick.
Oh, you forgot just about it?
Well, I don't think I ever told you about Big Dick.
I know. I don't remember hearing about Big Dick. Oh!
Big Dick was in Fort Drum.
You know something? I lied. It must have been four one-night stands. Now it's coming back.
Big Dick. That was...
You know what?
Oh, Giant Dick.
I must have been at like 20 years old. I was young. I met one in Fleet Week.
Fleet Week. Oh, yeah, I love Fleet Week. You got the Marines and the Navy, and who else?
Yep, I remember him, and we had sex on the top of the roof.
What?
And then, in my mother's apartment building. Good.
Let me take you up to the roof. How'd you get the key to get up there?
You didn't need a key, it was open.
Oh.
Yep.
How many other, was there like a bed up there? What was the setup? How were you able to get it on?
It was called a fucking towel and just do it. That was good. It was outside, it was good.
See, I'm over here wanting some ambiance, like a CD mattress up there, something.
That was 30 years ago when life was good.
Did you ever speak to him after that?
No.
Right?
You know, I think we might have had a letter once or twice.
A letter? You guys fucking wrote letters? Oh, that shit's taking it back.
Listen, dude, I just told you 30 years ago. He was in the Navy.
Oh, he was a Navy guy.
It was Fleet Week.
Okay.
So, yeah, actually, I think we did exchange one or two letters to each other, and that was it.
Damn. What do you think he would look like today?
I don't know. Oh, God. I don't know.
So he was hot to try. Set up the scene. How did you meet him at Fleet Week? Were you just walking down the street or a bar?
The next time you come here, I have a picture of him.
Oh.
I have a picture of me and him. He was tall. Yeah, tall, little mustache. Yeah, he was cute. He was really cute. How did I meet him?
Yeah.
We were in a bar hanging up, and I got up, and he got in my seat. And I was like, yo, you want to get the fuck up? And just moved. And he did, and that was it. We hit it off from there.
So he thought, did he think he was getting a beating?
He moved, buddy. I was like, gee. Can't move. You hit it off from there. I took him home.
Yeah.
Took him home.
I had the encounter. I met halfway with Big Dick. That's his nickname, right? So meet up, and I'm like all nervous about this shit because this isn't shit that I do. Like show up and meet in a fucking random hotel, like halfway between New York and what is it, the Canadian border, right? So we meet up. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna need a couple of drinks. This isn't something that I could just walk in. It's different where you guys like meet up at a bar and go back to the place, go up to mom's roof and get it on, versus you're talking about it online, then the two of you meet up. Okay, well, we need to like work our way into this, so had to have dinner and drinks. I think I tried to mainly focus on drinks. That was Plenty of Fish. I don't even fuck with Plenty of Fish anymore. This is like a 10-year-old experience. Yeah, roughly 10-year experience. Now it's like, okay, I'm ready to go back to the room and do the deed, right? I didn't even look at the package ahead of time. It was just like one of those throw you on the bed. He's like, you know, I got something in the heat of the moment. I'm gonna send it in. It was like, holy shit, it's like almost going out my mouth.
Oh my god.
It was one of those, and I want to say hung out, and it was like a couple more times, a couple more rendezvous with Big Dick. The next day, I think we went to the diner or something, was eating something and imparting ways. I'm like trying to have a conversation with him, and the whole time I'm like, oh, my insides are sore.
Oh god.
Have you ever had one of those experiences where your insides are sore?
No. No. I had like my legs were sore. door or something, but not. I don't think the inside. It might come to me because it already came to me how I had another one night stand that I forgot about. So it might come to me.
The older you get, it's like those are tucked way in the back folder, the back file cabinet. You gotta shake the dust off.
Yeah, that's how your mind works. So yeah. You feel total whore. You forget about it.
Yeah, the whole association. I had a fucking moment years ago, and I actually traveled up to Foxwoods. This was the 90s, and there was this kid. We're both kids. Who am I kidding? He was in the Canadian military, and fucking fine as hell. Met him on the dance floor at Foxwoods. There's like a nightclub there. I was with these two guys that I worked with on my second job, and hanging out with the guy, trying to talk. The two guys who are the ones who are going to drive me back were fucking lingering the whole time, cock blocking the shit out of that. So I remember wanting to hang out, but then I'm like, okay, then I have to figure out my own ride back. It's not like they weren't encouraging me to hang out with other people. They were always lingering. So we did write quite a few times to us back and forth, because that was the old days. We used to have to write letters. I remember getting a couple postcards from him. I don't even know if I still have them. It faded out because it was like, what are the odds of connecting again, I guess? He was going in the military, but he was fucking fine. Oh my goodness. My goodness. I remember dancing with an Asian guy in a nightclub, and I went with a couple of Colombian friends. It was practically humping the motherfucker on the dance floor. We were dancing to Freak-a-Leak. I was not normally attracted to Asian guys, but I was like, dude, I'd totally take this motherfucker home.
So did you?
No. It was another one of those where I was riding with other people. He, like, shook my hand and thanked me after it was over, but...
He shook your hand?
Yeah. It was like one of those hug kind of thing. Yeah.
Oh, man, that's not...
He might have been gay.
But he might have been. No.
So you only remember two encounters? I could have sworn you talked about another one.
No, I just told you three. The sailor guy that I forgot, that was a long time ago.
Sailor
then
guy.
It was the Lake George. And the Jersey.
Oh.
At least I kept everything out of home. Like, you don't shit where you eat, you know what I mean? Like, I'll never see these people again, so... That's a good thing.
Well, that is, unless people saw you up on the roof. Well, there's no building. Wait, isn't the building across the street higher than...
Yeah, but that was the fun of it. It was outside. It was a nice night. Fucking hell, yeah.
I remember years ago in Cuba doing that whole thinking it's cool to bang out in, like, this outdoor movie theater until you see the MPs roll up with the headlights and you're like, gotta go, show's over.
Your ass looks so white in those headlights.
It was.
Could you imagine?
Yes. Because Leslie was not a tanner back in the day. No, yes. So it was ultra pasty.
It's like when you're in the bar and it's late night and you put it on, everybody looks so pasty white and you're all fucked up. Could you imagine what your ass looks like in those lights?
Oh my gosh. I can only imagine. It was almost like the bat signal.
Yeah, right?
I scrambled real quick. I was like, oh, gotta put everything on. That's why you gotta do the dress thing, right? Isn't that the key?
The dress. Oh, if you know, if I was dating somebody and we wanted to mess around in the bathroom, I'd definitely go start. Much easier. They got all my crazy shit on me. Fucking one pan out of a leg. No, I'll
Yeah, it'd be like ultra extra sloppy. Like, not being prepared for a quick fuck. But you're never expecting that. That's the beauty of that shit. Who's expecting, other than you plan the shit online or whatever, when you organically meet somebody at a bar, you're not prepared for that. You might not even shave that day.
You know, just in case. You wear a skirt just in case you get
wrong. And you gotta make sure you shave.
I would only do that, like, I mean, if I was with somebody. That one, I never had a one-night stand like that. I was on the phone somewhere. I never got that lucky.
Does it make you regret? Like, I should have did more of that shit.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It is what it is. And it was fun, you know?
No, I agree. Those impromptu moments are few and far between, but they're fun when they do happen.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It was never my goal to out and do that, so when it did happen, it was usually a good, funny story and a good time. But it was never my goal. I don't even like dating. I need one person in my life.
Ideally, yeah, of course.
Shit happens, you know? But sometimes you go a while without getting anything, and just the human touch is nice, and you take it. You're not going to go anywhere. But then again, after, you're just back where you started. So to me, it's really not worth it.
I know, right?
And then you don't feel comfortable, or if you don't know the person that well, and they make a comment, or you're like, get the fuck out of here. Don't ruin it.
Yeah, I know. Like, make it weird.
Well, it's risky.
Yeah, it all is, yeah.
Risky business, Bob.
Yeah, right? If you're doing something impromptu, it's like, well, do they have a condom? Do they not have a condom?
Right. That's another thing. You got to worry about that. So it's like nowadays, it's a lot different. I think it's harder out there now to do anything, but it just is what it is. What are you going to do?
Right. Back in the day, it used to be the people geographically, wherever you were, your dating pool is whoever's close to you geographically. Now, it's not so much.
Now there is no dating pool.
No, it's a giant pool.
It's like a fucking drive-by shooting. I don't know if everybody's just broken.
Well, there's a lot of broken people, yes.
Yeah, and the way the world is right now, they made everything a lot harder, and there's more selfishness. I think people are just a little broken, so it's hard to meet somebody that's with a genuine interest. You know?
So. Yeah, well, yeah. Some may say that women are more aggressive than they were back then, too.
I don't think women are. Or maybe.
Yeah, compared to, say, a woman who used to wear a dress, petticoats, and all that other crap.
Now you're going back way too far.
Went way too back.
I don't think women should chase men. Because if a man wants you, he's going to call, he's going to talk to you. If he's not, it's not a bad thing. He's just not that into you, which is okay. It's going to happen. It comes with the territory. It's just, to me, against the laws of human nature. I'd rather have something mutual. I don't want a guy chasing me because usually that's bullshit. You know what I mean? If it's a mutual thing, you call, I can say, hey, I want to do this. That's nice to have, and that's what I can't find.
Yeah.
Just leave it alone. Just from my experience, if a guy's chasing, it's usually he's looking for one thing. Or a couple times I think they were more interested, which was nice, but then shit happens and it's over. It's hard out there. It's very hard.
The crazy thing was, I graduated high school a virgin, and I was going to do the whole, like, saving yourself for getting married, and I had the too many drinks on the very first time, and that happened, and it was like, well, that's out the door, so might as well do what I want.
Oh, well, you see, you drank and your pants fell off.
Yeah, they fell off. Didn't even know. I had no idea. Never drank in high school, had none of that for comparison. The first time it happens, I'm like, oh, I was drinking Zimas. Do you remember those fuckers?
Yeah, they were gross.
I had zero basis of reference. So I drank probably 6, 7, maybe 8. I don't remember.
You were young, so you had no tolerance.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was the thing. Woke up in, like, strange spot, and you're just like, all right, what the fuck just happened? I guess that was my first outer body experience.
Yeah.
Military, I tell you, that was a whole experience where I was going down for boot camp, and I had never stayed, other than with my parents, I had never stayed in a hotel by myself, never got on a plane by myself. So we were all going to MEPS for processing to go out to Orlando the next day. There was people pulling out all kinds of shit. I had no idea what the fuck it was. It was cocaine and party shit, obviously. I'm looking like, nope, I don't know what that is. I ain't messing with it. You gotta get your rest because you got a long couple of months ahead of you. We're all traveling on the plane, getting there, right? They're screaming at you as soon as you get off the bus and get in. They watch you take a piss for the piss test. Those people who decided to do all the crazy shit in the hotel, we're leaving that same day and going back home. I believe they got bad conduct discharges. I don't know for sure, but
damn.
Yeah, it was like, holy shit. Imagine had I decided, oh, I'll get in on that, but I was like all scared of that shit.
Better off, see? Blessing in disguise.
Yeah, yeah, well, I ended up tapping into the whole beer thing for the first time.
Oh, yeah, now you can drink everybody
under
the table.
Yeah, there'll be none of those blackouts. Well, maybe on occasion.
Oh, no, now you know exactly what you're doing.
I'm a professional.
Going up in your hand.
Yeah, I'm usually like to try to keep the... Unless I'm with people I trust.
Right, I was very shocked that you got that fucked up that night, because hold your arm. I was like, no way.
Yeah, I got bombed. that was when we were home drinking.
Yes, exactly. So it wasn't a bad thing, but dang.
Oh, no. My gosh. Yeah, that was a mess.
I'm glad I locked the screen door because I knew you were going to try to get out.
Run, Leslie, run! I'm going to run down the fucking hill and break my neck.
Yeah, that's why I locked it. I was like, fucking girl's going to end up getting lost and I'll avoid getting up. That's why I did it. The door trying to go like this, motherfucker.
This wraps up part A on the discussion that Melissa and I are having about our most random encounters. If you appreciate the content and would like to listen to the latter half of the conversation, head back into the podcast platform of your choice and look for part B. I thank you for listening to this point. For more information, head over to my website at www.constructiontales.com. I wish you a great day. Peace out, Cub Scout.
This wraps up another episode on the Verbally Disastrous podcast that can be found on Spotify, SoundCloud, and YouTube. For more information, head over to www.constructiontales.com. Thank you for listening, and have a great one.